challenges, and to do so through the medium of tefillah. Yomi is someone who definitely encountered in his life an extra measure of sorrow, a challenge, but that's not what we remember him for. What we remember him for is really the other true components of the Sefer's time. And that is that Yomi, who grew up in this shul, was a beautiful Baal Tefillah, Baal Koreh, somebody who brought the whole concept of tefillah to a different space. And he was also a tremendous chevronah. He was somebody who also appreciated the value of community, of tzibur, of klal. In fact, I remember last year when we had the levaya, after we sent out the email, there were two people who were members of the shul only in the last few years, who don't even know the Greensteins, but who knew Yomi in college, I think, who approached me with such a sense of loss because he had made such an incredible impact on their life. And so it's a real zechus for us to be able to learn the Sefer's Tainus in his memory. It should be an aliyah for his neshama. Rosh Baruch Hu should continue to give strength to his entire family. And we welcome the broader family who's here with us this morning. The shiur that we're about to have is part of our Daf HaShavua program. It's going to be probably about a 45-minute Gemara shiur. So anyone who's come to participate in the breakfast or the family gathering and that feels at a certain point it's time for them to move on, you do not have to feel at all obligated in any way, shape, or form to remain here as part of the shiur. It gets a little technical. It's if you're here for Daf HaShavua, you absolutely have to remain here. That's the plan. Okay? Very good. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. We have a recording. It's on. Okay, great. Okay, good morning, everyone. So we begin Maseches Tainus on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Perek Mei Masai. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, in the very beginning of this Perek, says the Mishnah, Maskirin Givuros Geshamim. So we know that when we recite Shmona Esrei, Shmona Esrei is divided into multiple parts. And the very beginning of Shmona Esrei is all about praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As part of those praises, we mention God's Givura, His strength, in particular, as it relates to Tchiyas HaMesim, as it relates to the resurrection of the dead, one of the greatest manifestations of the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in that context, at certain points of the year, we include an insertion that all of us are familiar with. And that insertion is, Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGoshem, that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the source of wind and of rain. And we'll get into later in the parak, what with respect to the wind and what's the rain and how this all works. So the Gemara wants to know, the Mishnah wants to know, Mei Masai Maskirin Givuros Geshamim. From when do we begin including this insertion in the Shmona Esrei? As Rashi says, Sha'omer Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGoshem. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. From the first day of Sukkot. We know that Sukkot is a holiday that is closely related to the concept of Mayim, to the concept of water, of Geshem, of God's providing for sustenance for the world through the medium of rain. And therefore, it would be befitting to associate the commencement of inserting this element of praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Chag that really celebrates and acknowledges and affirms HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in providing this life-sustaining element of the world. And so therefore, okay, we need to deal with that. And so therefore, it starts with Sukkot. So, Miyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. On the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua says, Miyom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag. That we begin from the last day of Sukkot. So, Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua. So says Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, who is the one that says we start from the last day of Sukkot. So he says to Rabbi Eliezer, Hoel Ve'ena Geshamim Elisim In Klala. Since we know that when it comes to Sukkot, how do we relate to rain? Even though Sukkot is a time of year that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in rain, the actual presence of rain on Sukkot, we know, is not just an inconvenience, it could incapacitate our ability to even perform the mitzvah of Sukkah. And in fact, the Gemara in Sukkah, the Mishnah in Sukkah, depicts allegorically that when we experience rain on Sukkos, it is something that in certain ways manifests HaKadosh Baruch Hu's displeasure with Klal Yisrael. Because here God, who is responsible for the meteorological and environmental contexts of our Shmiras HaMitzvos, is clearly creating a circumstance that it's impossible for us to be mekayim that mitzvah properly. And we know it's complicated exactly what the procedure is when it comes to the world of Geshem. But therefore, Eina Geshamim Ela Simin Klala. So Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua says, Geshamim, that rain, is a Simin Klala. It's a sign of displeasure for Klal Yisrael. It's like a curse on Sukkos. So why in the world would we begin to ask for rain, mention rain, at the outset of the Chag, when rain is something that's the last thing we want on Sukkos? So says the Gemara Bechag, Lama hum askir, why would we mention it? So Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer says, Avani lo amarti lishol, I didn't tell you to ask for rain, to request rain, ela lahazkir, rather just to mention rain. Mashiv haruach umorid hageshem ba'onoso, that you should mention that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give forth rain, but onaso, in its proper time. And so therefore, why should we compromise on allowing ourselves to begin this insertion when it's most appropriate from the Sukkos perspective, which is at the outset of Sukkos, just because of a concern of rain interfering with our Shmiras HaMitzvos? We're not requesting rain now. We're simply affirming HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world as the Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGashem. Gashem, Geshem, right? Big discussion, big hak, right? What do we say, Geshem or Gashem? There's a lot of discussion in the Tshuvos, which is the right way to go, which is the right grammatical way to go. Most of the original traditional Siddurim at Geshem. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who is very renowned for his grammatical expertise, believed it was Geshem. Rav Moshe, I believe, preferred the Nusach of Goshem, and believed that the inclusion of the Komatz of Goshem was simply the pausal form of Geshem. This doesn't actually change the meaning of the word. The Shulchan Aruch says that we only scream at the Baal Koreh, which is, I believe, what the Shulchan Aruch says. Chayev Atzibur Litzok LeBaal Koreh. You know, we only scream at the Baal Koreh when he makes a mistake, when it changes the meaning of the word. This is an example of a context that does not change the meaning of the word. Since most people in Shul today are experts at grammar, therefore, most people in Shul feel empowered to scream at the Baal Koreh. So the question is, when do we correct the Baal Koreh? So only if it changes the meaning of the word. Eretz and Oretz do not mean different things. Geshem and Goshem do not mean different things. It simply has to do with the way in which you conjugate the word, the way in which you vocalize the word, and how you view it in context. So they say that Geshem views Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGashem as an insertion that just becomes part of the rest of the list. Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGashem, Mechal Kachayim B'chesed, Mechayim Esim B'rachim Yiram. But if you include Goshem, that really says that it's sort of its own independent insertion. And since it's only said at certain times a year, maybe we treat it as an independent insertion, maybe we treat it as an insertion that becomes part of the Shemona Esrei, and that's an interesting discussion, but not for now. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah says, Amar lo, so he says, well, one second, if you're telling me that it's only Lahazkir, you're just mentioning the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This has nothing to do with requesting rain. So la'olam ye mazkir. So hey, why are you selling yourselves short the rest of the year? We should always be generous in how we relate to our praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's include it the entire year. So the Mishnah does not record the response to that contention, and the Gemara is going to a little bit later. Then the Mishnah inserts a line, Ein shoalin es ha-geshamim ela samach le-geshamim. We don't request rain except close to the actual experience of the rainy season. And there's a machlokas how exactly to read this line later in the Gemara. Is this line essentially discussing a whole different discussion that that we're reflecting now on She'ela, which is the insertion in Shmona Esrei, not Mashi Baruch Morad HaGeshem, but the same Talumatar Libracha that's made in the context of Bakasha, when we're requesting things, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Or is the Mishnah using this word Shoalin, sort of without an exact formulation, and really means to be maskir, and it's simply following the shita that says we do so samach l'gashamim. So, okay, we'll see that later. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Over lifnei ateva b'yom tov achron shachag, the one who passes before the teva, which means the one who is involved in serving as the shliach tzibor b'yom tov achron shachag on the last day of the chag." So what happened? I'm sorry, B'yom Tov Achron, on the last day of the Chag, Maskir HaRishon Eino Maskir. So the last one is Maskir, the Rishon is Eino Maskir. What's the last one and what's the first one? So it means that we do this at Musaf. We do not do this at Shachris. The transition happens at Musaf. And that's what we do. B'yom Tov HaRishon, and there's a difference in Minhagim. Whether the transition happens in silent Shmoneh Esrei or in public Shmoneh Esrei, Nesach Svar, Nesach Ashkenaz, also something to fight about. B'yom Tov HaRishon Shal Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, HaRishon Maskir, the first one will be Maskir, we'll mention it in Shachris. HaAchron Eino Maskir, the last one will not be Maskir. The Tosfos Yontif asks, why do we use this formulation of Maskirin, right? Which sounds like it's the causative, will cause to be remembered, as opposed to just Zochrin, like that's what we do, more of a directive. So the Tosfos Yontif says, because we're referring to the din that we know is quoted in the Rosh Natura, that we actually have to make this announcement. An actual announcement has to be made to let people know that this is what we are going to do. We're going to make this switch. So much so that if the announcement is not made, maybe we don't change to the Mashiv Aruch Morad HaGashem. Why? Because why shouldn't we just change anyway? And those who remember, remember. And those who don't remember, don't remember. So the halacha is, we want a sense of uniformity, a sense of common formulation of the tefillah of the tzibur. And so therefore, it's very important that everybody is together. Says the Gemara, Tana Hecha Koi Diktani Mei Masai. So this Masechta, similar to the first Masechta in Shas, begins in the middle of a thought. It begins with a question. May Masai Maskirin Gevuras Kashamim. From when do we start mentioning Gevuras Kashamim? Says the Gemara, what's the context? Whoever told you, where's the directive to do this all together? That you're now worried about the particulars of when, in fact, we do this. So says the Gemara, Tana Hasam Kai. It refers to over there, in Masechas Brachos, in Seder Zeroyim. Diktani, that we learned. Maskirin Gevuras Kashamim B'Tchiyas Amesim. We mentioned Gevuras Kashamim in the Bracha of Tchiyas Amesim. V'Sholin B'Birchas Hashanim. And we ask for rain in the Bracha of Birchas Hashanim, later in the section of Bakasha. V'Havdala, and when do we make Havdala? V'Chonin Hadas. We do it in the Bracha of Chonin Hadas. Viktani mei masai maskirin gevuras kashamim. So the Gemara, the Mishnah's already set as a precedent that we insert these elements, and so therefore now the Mishnah wants to know, when do we actually mention the gevuras kashamim? When do we actually mention the gevuras kashamim? The listni hasam. So the Gemara says, well, one second, if Meseches Brachos, which is all the way back in Seder Zeroyim, is the source of all of this altogether, so Maishna Deshavkei Ad Hacha. Why are you waiting all the way till here to try to clarify when we mention it? Why don't you insert this Mishnah or this detail already back in Meseches Brachos? Why are we waiting till all the way here? So the Gemara abandons this as the catalyst for the outset of our Masechta's question of May Masai Maskirin Gevuras Kashamim, and says, no, it's not Seder Zeroyim and Maseches Brachos, it's a Masechta that's in much greater proximity. The Masechta that was just finished by Daf HaShavua, and that is Mirosh Hashanah. In Maseches Rosh Hashanah Salik, we're taking off from Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It's now we learned in the Mishnah, Uvichag Nidon in Alamayim, that on Sukkis the world is judged with respect to water. Va'aydi Ditan Uvichag Nidon in Alamayim. And since we learn that on Sukkis we are Since we learned on Sukkot that we are judged on water, therefore, after that Masechta ends, it's all on our mind, and we need to know when do we go ahead and mention Gevuras Geshamim, and that's why we included at the outset of this Masechta. V'lisni mei masai maskirin ala geshamim. So this is a strange formulation that the Mishnah talks about Gevuras Geshamim, the strength of Geshamim. Why don't we just ask, May Masai Maskirin ala Geshamim? From when do we mention the Geshamim itself? My Gevuras Geshamim. What's this whole concept of Gevuras Geshamim? What does that have to do with anything? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan Mipnei Sheyardim B'Gevura, because Geshamim come down with Gevura, with power. And the Gemara is going to quote a number of different psukim that explain that the Gevura is associated with Geshem. Shenemar, as it says in the Torah, or it says in the Nevi'im, Osa gedolos adein cheker v'niflos adein mispar. Hashem does great things with until even a lack of understanding, v'niflos, and great wonders adein mispar. V'ksiv, and it also says, Anosein matar al pnei aretz. I'm just going to ask if those who are not with us in the shir, if you can either maybe just step outside with the conversation or maybe just cease it because it's distracting. Thank you. And it says that Hashem gives rain on the earth, shaleach mayim al pnei chutzos, and sends water al pnei chutzos. My mashma, what does that come to apply? I'm a rabbi bar shila, asyach cheker cheker mebriyaso shalolam. Okay. Can I ask you to please ask them? To please, thank you. Asya cheker cheker mebriyaso shel olam. So we make a gzera shava cheker cheker mebriyaso shel olam. Ksiv hacha. It says over here also gedolos sarein cheker v'ksiv hasam. And it says by briyas olam with regards to the creation of the world. Halo yodata. Did you not know? Im lo shamata. Have you not heard? Elokei olam Hashem borei kitzos haaretz. Lo yaref lo yageya. That the God is the creator of the world. He never tires. He never ceases. Ein cheker litvunaso. There's no cheker. There's no end to his tvuna. V'ksiv mechin harim b'kocho nezar b'gvura. And in proximity to that, mentions the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates with gvura. So we see the concept that rain is related to the notion of gvura, the notion of strength. And we know that this is true. In what way is rain related to the notion of Gevura, the notion of strength? So maybe it's because we know that rain is, and in what way is it associated and embedded with the concept of Tchias HaMeisim? So first of all, we know that rain is a life-sustaining force in many ways. Number one, we can't have food in the world without rain. So the concept of Tchias HaMeisim, the whole ability to sustain the world, is dependent on the presence of rain, is dependent on Geshem. Number two, the notion that how rain helps things grow is certainly related to the concept of Tchias HaMeisim, right? The notion that you put this seed in the ground and this lifeless item is able to sprout forth, a life-sustaining food supply, that itself is related to the concept of Tchias HaMeisim. The truth is, I would also add, the concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Gevura is seen through Geshem just in the whole notion of weather patterns in general.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, the notion that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I was reading an article this week. It was an article in the Washington Post by a meteorologist who was reflecting on the fact that whenever a storm is predicted and then it turns out to be less than it was predicted, everybody attacks the meteorologists to the point that people are almost upset that there was not a destructive storm since it was predicted. And how could these people be wrong? And here we bought water and we got ready for everything and salt and we got ourselves ready for the big storm and it never came. Nebuch, what are you doing to us? When we prepare for a storm, we want the storm. And certainly if they get it wrong the other direction, we hold them responsible. Fire the weather people, fire the meteorologists. They got it wrong. So this meteorologist reflects on the fact that they look at mountains and mountains and mountains of data. That's what they do all day. They look at satellites. They don't sit in a room and guess. They don't sit in a room and call all their grandmothers and say, what do you think it's going to be, right? That's not what they do. They don't just throw something. They sit and they look at all sorts of scientific formulations and satellite imagery, and they work in teams, and they do their absolute best to predict the pattern of the storm. But, wrote this meteorologist in the Washington Post, at the end of the day, Mother Nature decides what's going to be. We don't decide what's going to be. Meaning we could have the most predicted. It's an amazing thing, right? Science is able to predict a lot of things. You could predict the spread of disease. You could predict what's going to happen in the human body. You could predict all sorts of things with science. Physics, all these engineering, all these fields. At the end of the day, when it comes to weather, even the most sophisticated models of satellite imagery cannot predict what is ultimately going to happen. What's ultimately going to happen is in the hands of Mother Nature, otherwise known as God, right? Okay, we'll take Mother Nature, that's fine, right? Says the Gemara, uminolon de bitfila. So, okay, I understand. There's a concept of affirming the fact that God is this source of Gvura, is this source of nature. So, uminolon de bitfila. But how do I know that should be done in the context of tefillah? Detanya, we learned in a brisa, le'ahava es Hashem Elokeichem. Le'ahava es Hashem Elokeichem. To love Hashem your God, ula'avdo b'chol levavchem. And to serve Him with all of your heart. Ezohi avoda shehi balev. What is considered an avoda that's belev? Avi omer zu tefillah. That is considered tefillah. Iksiv basrei, and it says right after that pasuk, La'avos Hashem Elokeichem u'avdo b'chol levavchem v'nosati mitar arzechem be'ito yoreu makosh, that I'll give rain. So you see that rain is associated with tefillah. This Gemara in Tainis is one of the primary sources for the mitzvah to pray, the mitzvah to daven. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos quotes that the mitzvah of tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Yeah, chayiv, everybody's chayiv min haTorah to daven. The Rambam source is this Gemara. La'avas Hashem Elokeichem la'avdo b'chol levavchem. Ezu yavodo shebelev, havi omer zu tefillah. The Ramban, famously in the Sefer HaMitzvos, disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban seems to say that the mitzvah of tefillah, certainly the general daily mitzvah of tefillah, is only a mitzvah derabbanan. Maybe in the context of an eist tzara, tefillah would be considered d'oraisa, but in general, tefillah is considered a mitzvah midrabbanan. The Shulchan Aruch, in halachic terms, seems to paskin that the mitzvah of tefillah is midrabbanan, in terms of dealing with the issues of sveika and other issues that come up that require us to understand, is it d'oraisa d'rabbanan? But there's a lot of discussion about this. Magen Avraham writes that even though the Rambam says mitzvah tefillah is d'oraisa, that doesn't mean davening shachris mincha mariv is d'oraisa. Right. Doesn't mean that the cantorial pieces of Hineni are d'oraisa. I think those cantorial pieces are much more than a d'oraisa. But those are all, the zmanim and all that, that may all be midrabbanan. But the mitzvah to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at least once a day, that mitzvah is min haTorah. And there are others that swing the pendulum the other direction. The Aruch HaShulchan has a lengthy discussion that even according to the Ramban, it doesn't mean that there's no mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah. Says, you know, there is not a formulated mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah, similar to other elements of Shabbos that are midrabbanan, that you're still not mekayim the mitzvah of Shabbos min haTorah if you violate those things, even though you wouldn't get skila from them. So the Aruch HaShulchan also kind of elevates the position of the Ramban. But nevertheless, and we also have the famous Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim writes that the mitzvah of tefillah, according to the Rambam, is the mitzvah chiyuvis is not, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah chiyuvis may not be a mitzvah d'oraisa. But the mitzvah kiyumis is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah chiyuvis, there's a mitzvah kiyumis. That the obligation and then what you fulfill. What you fulfill might be a kiyum d'oraisa. Rabbi Salvechik, in his book on tefillah, has a lengthy discussion about this whole phrase, avoda shebelev, what it means to have an avoda, a service of the heart. So Rabbi Salvechik writes that when the Rambam classifies mitzvos, so the Rambam discussed there are different types of mitzvos. So sometimes mitzvos are really action-oriented mitzvos. They're action-oriented and they're action-fulfilled. The mitzvah to pick up a lulav. So there are all sorts of nice things you can think about while picking up a lulav, being ma'achid, different types of Klal Yisrael, the concept of water, There are all sorts of beautiful things to think about. That's not part of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Kiyum HaMitzvah, Midagdei Nafik Bey, is to pick up the lulav and shake the lulav. There are other mitzvahs that have a much more emotional dimension to them, a much more experiential component. Even mitzvahs that have an experiential component, says the Rav, almost never are framed in such a way in the context of Torah that they are exclusively emotional and exclusively experiential. Because we always have some sort of action that expresses these inner emotions. For example, there's a mitzvah of simcha on Yontif. Mitzvah to feel simcha, to feel the emotion of joy. But we don't just have a mitzvah to walk around feeling happy. That is not structured enough. So we have ways in which that mitzvah of joy is manifest in the actions that we do. In the karbonos of the shlamim, in buying nice things for our families. There are ways to express the mitzvah of simcha. Avelos, says the Rav. The kiyum of avelos is to feel the sense of loss, to feel the sense of sadness. But it's not just a mitzvah to be emotional. There are things that we do and don't do in order to express the ma'isa ha-mitzvah of avelos. So says the Rav, the same is true with tefillah. Tefillah is not fulfilled in its totality as just an avoda, as just walking into shul and saying the words and doing the actions and bowing here and bowing there and shuckling here and shuckling there, taking 3 steps back. That's not the totality of the mitzvah of tefillah. The mitzvah of tefillah is an avoda that it's expressing something balef, but it's not enough to just sit around and contemplate our relationship with God. It's not enough to just go into the forest and connect with the Rabbono Sholom. It's a beautiful thing. Once had a Rebbe when I was in high school. Wasn't a Rebbe, he was an Sisuai director. He was very into depressive Hasidus.
Oh, yeah.
He made a chavrusa with me on his Shtabchus HaNefesh and was taking me into the forest and we would talk to God. It was a beautiful and wonderful thing. But that's not enough for all of tefillah. That's enough for a beautiful and wonderful experience, but that's not all of tefillah. Tefillah has certain rigid and objective components to it. Says the Rav, tefillah is an avoda shebelev. It's a external, expressive, concrete manifestation of something that's going on inside you. That's the whole challenge of tefillah. That's why it's an avoda. Tefillah is hard. When you look at certain people and it looks like they always have kavana, you could be sure of one thing, that sometimes they're faking it, right? No one always has kavana. It's very hard to always have kavana. You have to work very hard on that, to really prepare, to learn, to understand tefillah, to connect to tefillah. Mir Tashem, that'll be part of what we focus on in Maseches Tainus. But it's an avoda shebelev. The avodah shebelev of tefillah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Gimel Maftechus B'yadosho HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the three keys, the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shelo Nimsaru B'yad Shliach, that were not given over to a Shliach, Ve'elu Ein, and these are them, Mafteach Shel Gishamim, the key of Gishamim, of rain, U'Mafteach Shel Chaya, and the key of childbirth, U'Mafteach Shel Tchiyas HaMeisim, and the key of Tchiyas HaMeisim. What does this mean? This means that not even angels are empowered to bestow things. These are things that we have to appeal that come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rain, controlled directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaya, the ability to have children. Many people are blessed that they get married and they're able to have children naturally and right away. Many people are not blessed with such an outcome. And they can tell you, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where there's so much that could be done. Interventionally to try to make that happen, and for many people that allows them to have children. For some people even that does not, but people will tell you the excruciatingly painful experience of going through fertility challenges. It's unbelievably overwhelming, especially as our community is very much not set up with any degree of sensitivity towards that challenge. We have sensitivities to a lot of challenges. Baruch Hashem, our community has developed sensitivities to many more challenges. Fertility is a emotional, really, really difficult thing. How many of our rituals revolve around family? We're coming up on Pesach. How many Shiurim and Divrei Torah are about children and teaching children? How much of what we do is all set up around children? Something to be very cognizant of. This is not in people's control. It's not in anybody's control. Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed us with children. It's because it's a blessing. It's a gift. Not everybody gets that gift. And that gift comes directly from a Kaddish Baruch.
What's an angel's control then?
What?
What's in an angel's control then? If we're saying these three things are in God's control.
Other things that Kaddish Baruch Hu can bestow onto the world through the Shliach of Malachim, right? Through the Shliach of malachim. Doesn't mean we daven to malachim. It's a whole separate discussion. But it means that there is a, what the Gemara is trying to say is that while in other ways God's intervention can be indirect, but still be interventional, of course it's still Hashgachas Hashem, in these areas God is completely indirect control and in terms of how it plays out. Says the Gemara, how do we know this? Mafteach shel gesham yichsev yiftach Hashem lecha es otzro atov es hashamayim laseis matar aretzcha beito. That Hashem has to open the otzer of goodness of the heavens to give rain to the world. Mafteach shel chaya minayin. How do we know the key of childbirth? Yichsev ayizkor Elohim es Rachel. Hashem remembers Rachel by Yishma Elea. He listens to her. Elohim by yiftach es Rachma and opens up her rechem, her womb. Mafteach shel tchias ameisim minayin. That Hashem himself has to open the kvarim of those that have passed on. They used to say, "Af mavteach shal parnasa." The key to parnasa is also part of what only HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. Dechsev poseach es yadecha umaspia lecha chai ratzon. So, Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, my time aloka choshev laha. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't think that Parnasa is straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar l'cha, I'll tell you, Geshamim, Hainu Parnasa. Geshamim, when we refer to rain, so in an agricultural society, they will tell you that rain is very much connected to Parnasa, hence the term rainmaker. Right?
Oh, wow.
That's where that comes from.
That's
the Gemara
cool.
in science. You like that thing?
Yeah, it's cute.
All right. So, says Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Miyom Tov Arishon Shel Chag. Rabbi Lezer was of the opinion that we start on the first day of Sukkot, right? Yeshua said at the end of Sukkot, Ibailo Rabbi Lezer, Mehecha Gamer La. So we have a Shiloh. Trying to figure out, according to Rabbi Lezer, when on that first day of Sukkot do we begin? So the question is, where in the Sukkot experience is Rabbi Eliezer anchoring his association between Mayim and Sukkot? What particular element of Sukkot? So the Gemara says, Gamer La Milulav. So the gamer law, milulav gamer law, minisach hamayim gamer law. Does he get it from lulav or from nisach hamayim? Milulav gamer law. If he gets it from lulav, ma lulav biyom. We know the mitzvah of lulav is only in the day. Af haskara biyom. So the haskara would also only be during the day. And the Rishonim explain why then only at musaf, because we're not going to do it at ma'ariv. So we are going to do it at shachris. But we don't do it at shachris because people come for shachris. They'll think maybe we did it at ma'ariv. So we wait till everybody's together. The most amount of people together, and that's at Musaf. I guess even in days of the Gemara, there was such a thing, as even though we know this obviously a new phenomenon for American Jewry. Obviously in Europe, no one ever came late to shul. Everything was perfect there. But it seems to be that once in a while, people would come late to shul. So by Musaf, already everybody's there. They want to be there for the rabbi's drasha. And so therefore, they're there. Everybody's good to go. It says nothing about a kiddush. Avazkar b'yom al dilma minisa chamayim, or maybe it comes from nisa chamayim. Gamar la man nisa chamayim or son nisa chamayim could be at night. Gamar mar because the master said mechasim v'nis kehem the multiple mechasim. Afilu b'layla even at night. Avazkara meursa. So also the mentioning could be at night. So toshma. Remember, we're here within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says we do this on the first day of Sukkot, right? It's not what we do. We do this on Shemini Atzeres, right? So the Amar Rabbi Avo, so says Rabbi Avo, Lo lam de Rabbi Eliezer, lemi lulav. I know for sure, says Rabbi Avo, that Rabbi Eliezer connected it to lulav, which means it doesn't start at night. It starts during the day. Ikad Amri Rabbi Avo Gamar Gemiri Lo. Some say it was a tradition. Ikad Amri Masnisa Shmilei. Some say there was a Beferish Mishnah that he got this from. So if it's a tradition, okay. So we got the tradition. That's the Masorah. But what's the Masnisa? What's this Mishnah? The Tanya we learned, what's this Tanakh statement? The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, me maskirin al Geshamim. From when do we begin to mention the Geshamim? So we have the same machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, but instead of it being framed as about the beginning and the end of the Chag, it's actually framed with reference to Lulav. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Mishas Natilas Lulav. Rabbi Eliezer says in the time of taking the Lulav. Rabbi Yoshua, and that's the first day. That's when we begin taking the lulav. Rabbi Yoshua, Amar Mishas Anachoso. No, we do it at the end of taking the lulav. How do we do it at the end of taking the lulav? The lulav and Esrog and Dalet Minim all represent our connection to Mayim, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment. And so therefore, one says, as we take the initiative to begin to connect to this concept, that's when we affirm the Gevurah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with respect to Mayim. The other opinion is, no, we need the Chag to really connect to the mitzvah of Arba Minim. We need the Chag to be overwhelmed and transformed and to have this value instilled within us. And once that culminates, then we can initiate a greater degree of Gevurah. Now, it sounds something like the Gemara that we would begin on the last day of Sukkot. Hashana Rabbah, yes, the Rishonim asked that question. Rishonim point that out. So some say that, yeah, Nechanami, that maybe according to this source in Rabbi Eliezer, in Rabbi Yeshua, it would be the last day of Sukkot. And some say, no, what it means is after the very last moment, that lulav is shayach, which is the end of Hoshana Rabbah. We put the lulav down at the beginning of Hoshana Rabbah after that gloriously long, wonderful, davening in the morning. Then we put the lulav down. Then we beat the aravos. Mitzvah done with great passion in Klal Yisrael, almost as great passion as other wonderful mitzvahs. And then we put the lulav and esrog down. But you could still lift lulav and esrog the whole day of Hoshana Rabbah. So maybe Mishasa Nechasan means from the last moment you could put it down, you put it down, and then you go to Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres and Chutz La'aretz might be Hoshana Rabbah, but already in Shmini Atzeres we're not allowed to take lulav and esrog, and that's a discussion for another time. Mishasa Nechasan. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, it says Rabbi Eliezer, since these four minin salamayim only come to evoke the ritzoi, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in giving us mayim, since these four species cannot exist without mayim, kach yeshal olam below mayim. Right? This is one of the few mitzvahs we do. We literally grab agriculture and we hold it all Shavuos. So we, because we don't live in an agricultural society, like to focus on some of the other themes of the Dalet Minim, the unity of the Jewish people and other themes, beautiful themes. But one of the primary themes of the Dalet Minim is its agricultural import, is the notion that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that provides us sustenance in the world. And so therefore, we literally grab the Dalet Minim. Amar lo, Rabbi Yoshua, v'alo gesham b'chagin elisim in klala. So Yoshua, Rabbi Yoshua says, well, yeah, but you know, that may be true. And that's a beautiful thing, but we know that rain on Sukkot is a simin klala. Right? This whole discussion, when on rain on Sukkot is the simin klala, right? When should you feel really bad when the you see that night. Rain? So the Rambam seems to say it's the first night. Some Rishonim say it's the first night. Because the first night is the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sukkah. But the first night's the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sukkah only in terms of being compelled to sit in the Sukkah. The Kiyum mitzvah of Sukkah and the Isser Chutz LeSukkah exists the rest of Sukkot also. Some Rishonim say that this curse exists all Sukkot long. That this is true the entire Chag of Sukkot, right? When I was regional director of NCSY, so I was of the opinion that rain was a simon klola on the first night, and then whatever day was Six Flags, right? That was clearly a simon klola, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves NCSY. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, says Rabbi Eliezer, afani lo amarti lishol. I didn't tell you to ask for rain, and that would be in contrast to the klola that we want to avoid. El hazker, I told you to mention it. And just like we mentioned Tchiyas HaMeisim all year round, then it's only going to occur in its own time. We don't only mention things that are shaykh for this very moment. We're going to mention Tchiyas HaMeisim. Maybe it'll come, maybe it won't come. But we mention it no matter what. So we don't only mention things that are seasonal. So kach maskirim gevurahs gesham kol hashana. So maybe you should mention gevurahs geshamim the whole year. The Einan Ela Bismanon, even though it only comes at its time. Lefichach, so says Rabbi Shua, Imbala Askir Kalashana Kula Maskir, Taka, you want to mention it the whole year? Mention it the whole year, fine with me, right? That doesn't mean you have to mention it the whole year, but you can mention it the whole year. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Omerani, I say, no. Mishash of Mafsik Lisha'ela, when we stop asking for Geshem, Kach Mafsik Lazkara, that's when we stop mentioning Geshem. That's when we stop mentioning Geshem. We are trying to create here a context of Ritzui. We're trying to create, there's an interplay that between the mentioning of the Geshem and the asking for the Geshem. The asking is much more potent and much more significant when it's done in a context where we're relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the only source of rain, right? We know in the very beginning of the Torah says that it hadn't yet rained, the vegetation was all under the ground, it hadn't yet rained. Ki Adam ayin la'avodas adama. Rashi says, what is ayin la'avodas adama? He didn't daven yet, right? That in order for certain things to happen in the world, tefillah needs to be evoked. Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, Omer Rabbi Huda ben Beseira says, B'shem, he says, no. So now we have other opinions about when we should start mentioning rain. B'sheni b'chag u'maskir. On the second day of chag we're maskir. Rabbi Kiva, Omer Rabbi Kiva says, B'shishi b'chag u'maskir. Mentioned on the sixth day of the chag. Rabbi Huda, Mishum, Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, over lifnei ha-teva. When you go before the teva, B'yom tov achron shachag, on the last day of the chag, ha-achron maskir, ha-rishon eino maskir. The Baal Musaf mentions it, the Rishon does not mention it. B'yom tov Rishon shal Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, a Rishon maskir, the Baal Shachris will, but say Bashar Baruch Hu Negoshem, Achron ain't a maskir, the Baal Musaf will not. Shapir Kamar le Rabbi Eliezer le Rabbi Yeshua. Now the Gemara returns to the question here, what's going on in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer had a good taina in Rabbi Yeshua. Good taina. Only he said Askara, so what's the problem? Amar l'cha Rabbi Yeshua, Bish, lama t'chias ha-meisim. T'chias ha-meisim maskir de kuli yom nezim nohu, zmanihu. Tchias HaMesim, it's Shayach every moment. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen today. We said Tchias HaMesim in Shachris this morning. We don't know. Maybe this afternoon, instead of going shopping for Pesach, we're going to have Tchias HaMesim. And Mirtz Hashem, Halavai. That'll be a wonderful thing. It's always Shayach. Gesham and Kolimus asked this Zman Nayuhu. Rain is always Shayach. It's not about Tzna. We learned in the Mishnah. Yotza Nisim Yod Gesham Simin Klol. Rain comes right after Nisan, that's a Simen Klola, that's when the produce is being kotzer and you're dealing with it. You don't want rain out in the fields at that time. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, therefore, that's why, that's the answer to this question. So we're not mazkir it all the time. So you see what's going on really in this machlokas is the degree to which the Haskara and the She'ela or related, the degree to which mentioning the rain is already invoking some inevitable dimension of tefillah for the rain. And there is a back and forth, there's a tension that's going on here. The fact that we only do it in seasons that's shayach to rain really does seem to associate it not with more of a global connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power to deal with rain, but rather to our desire for rain. On the other hand, the fact that it really is mentioned in the beginning of Shemona Esrei, in the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in the Bakasha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that seems to indicate that contextually in our tefillah, it's really related. This is the tension that exists between the two. It's up to us to be able to internalize sort of both dimensions, to recognize that Mashiv Aruach Amar Nagashim is recognizing the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's something about recognizing God's power in the world that itself is a form of tefillah. Itself is a form of, because the two are very connected. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer B'sheni B'chag. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said it was the second day of the Chag. Who masker? My time at Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. The time that we learned in the Braisa. What's the reason Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? Because we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Nemar B'sheni. It says in the Psukim regarding the Karbanos of Sukkot. On the second day. V'niske hem. With an extra mem. Didn't have to say niske hem. V'nemar B'shishi. It says in the sixth day. V'nisachera. With an extra yud. The number b'shvi k'mishpatam with an extra mem. Hare mem yud mem. What does mem yud mem spell?
Mayim.
Mayim, mayim, mayim. Right. Hare kan mayim. We have water. Mikan remez l'nisach hamayim. From here we have a remez to nisach hamayim min ha-Torah. U'mayishna b'sheni dinokatz. Then why do we pick specifically the second day? The chiremizi l'ubikro b'sheni u'dermizi. Because it's in the second day that this hint comes. Hilkach b'sheni. Therefore, we recognize it on the second day. Okay, we'll stop here.
Okay.
Now, it's interesting. They don't. You would think they would bring a proof from a shul.
Why?
Because when this